Welcome to the Alive Youth Ministry Podcast for the week of January 24th. And Alex says that we should let her read her letter about when she first fell in love with Jesus, right?
During a live night.
During a live? Oh. During love night. Oh my goodness.
Oh snap.
Luke Norton, you have to stay the entire time.
I know.
Listen to me. Don't cry.
John,
World's Smallest Violin. It's playing just for you. It's playing just for you. It's playing just for you. Alex, let me see it first. Not tonight, next week. I always have to just check it first. It's kind of a protocol.
I'll type it. Hey, what's the night called, by the way?
Covenant Theater.
It's the, yeah, I was going to say, it's the second section to what we talked about yesterday. It's the covenant.
11.
Why?
No.
Oh, John, I lost part of my computer today, the 26th.
Raymond, could you shut that back door? Well, as Daniel comes in. Well, let us begin. Get started. Dr. D's here. You could have stayed in there as long as you want, by the way. First off, we are looking for somebody who's technology savvy, who would be interested to do PowerPoint for us. We're looking and run the soundboard. You wouldn't have to do it every week. You do it every other week. If you're interested, just let me know. We're really looking for some people to do that. The first thing I like to do, yes.
I'm volunteering my brother.
Okay. I want to meet him.
Keith,
and then
I'm volunteering you. You won't hear this.
Keith.
I'm yelling at you.
All the world, people in New Zealand want you to come do our PowerPoint.
Yes.
Come to church.
Yes.
Literally, people in New Zealand and like Thailand listen to our podcast.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's pretty crazy, like randomly. And then some random guy the other day commented on one of our YouTube videos. He was like angry burrito 423 and had like a Mexican burrito with like a sombrero on with a face like dancing. And it was the video in which I ate my booger. And he goes, "You've got to respect this guy for standing up for what he believes in." And I was like, "Did you not get it? It was a joke. We really don't eat boogers. It's good and tasty." Okay. Tonight, we've got to get done a little bit early, so if I could get you guys to go with me. Really cool boots, by the way. Boots with the fur. They're pretty sick. That's what I was thinking. Can anyone tell me what I talked about last week?
A chosen people.
No, actually.
Holiness.
What? Holiness. Five burning.
Share it with the room.
Tonight, I'm going to talk about covenant thieves. I drew little pictures on my notes, so you better watch out, because that means I'm really excited about what I have to say.
I'm shooting birds.
Anytime I drew a shotgun and a buzzard and a star, and the buzzard's trying to steal my star, so I shot it on my piece of paper, and then I drew sunglasses with stars in the eyes instead of shades. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, it was.
But watch this. Yes, it's very symbolic, and I'll explain later. Okay. But now watch this. Boom, serious smoke, okay? I'm going to read Genesis chapter 15, verses 4 through 11, and we're going to get started. We have the mission trip meeting immediately to follow this. So the minute we're done, we're going to transition. We're probably going to have 10 minutes of prayer, something like that, then we'll transition into the mission trip meeting. Brother Wendell Redmond, mission director from Rio Network of Churches, is going to be here. He's organizing our trip. Really excited about that. Genesis 15, 4 through 11. Now, this is a good little bit of scripture. This is talking about Abraham, the father of the Israelite nation. This is when he gets the promise from God. The Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, "I'm the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, This is a cow, not a person. Okay. A 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So Abraham presented these to him and killed them. Some of you girls in here like that. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the half side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some now key on this, okay? So we've got my favorite verse. God promises you the stars. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant promise, and you're going to find out what a covenant promise is with you. But I want you to go outside. I want you to take 5 animals. I want you to lay them out, and I want you to walk between them. And then it says this. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abraham chased them away. Now these carcasses, these animals, represented God's promise to him. And some vultures tried to swoop out of the sky and steal the markers of God's promise in this man's life. And he stood up and he shooed them away. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Things that try to steal the covenant of God in your life from you. Covenant thieves. I'm going to pray. I've been informed that there's a prayer request. A very special prayer request where Shauna's baby.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Lacey.
Lacey. Been very sick. Her sister gave birth to a child very recently, and the child's been very sick. Raymond.
My stepdad might have to have triple bypass heart surgery.
Okay. We'll definitely be praying for that. What's his name?
Brian Jernigan.
Brian. Lacey, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Guess go.
Ross, he got in a wreck on his way to have some things today.
We had one of our youth members, Ross, Ross Bumpus, got in a car crash at like 5 o'clock today. He's fine. His car's not.
It's total.
So we need to just check that out. We need to just be praying for him that that situation be smoothed over. So we've got Brian, right? Brian, Lacey, Carr, anything else?
Yes. My mom, my friend Rachel, her dad's still really bad off. She got to go home from the hospital the other day, last time I talked to her, but her dad's still bad off.
Okay. And your mom? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Will you pray for Jessica?
What for? Okay. We'll pray for Jessica. Let's pray. Father God, yes, one more. Prayer requests.
Okay.
Where?
Jacob. Remember to keep Ron Seymour's family in prayer for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this night, Lord. I celebrate your presence, God, and I celebrate the fact that even in the middle of our deepest storms, you're walking in the middle of them, Lord. God, I call up to you tonight some needs, some issues. Lord, I lift up baby Lacey, God, that you would heal her and restore her in the name of Jesus Christ. Because by your stripes, Jesus, you're healed. I also plead these over Brian tonight, Lord Jesus, that through the surgery, if it's necessary, God, that you got the doctor's hand, Lord, and he comes out stronger than he was before. Lord God, I lift up all these other needs with the young man losing his life. Lord, I lift up his family through this trying time, God, that they might experience your presence in the middle of this issue. Lord, I lift up Rhonda tonight, God, if she deals with this issue, Lord, I believe she's going to be completely healed, and we're going to look back and remember the days that she had to deal with this, but recognizing that time that she's been restored by God. I believe this is just a trial. It's a season. It's not going to last forever. Lord God, I lift up all the other needs that were called out. Father, you know them. You know every single issue intricately, God, because you're right in the middle of it. God, I pray that your presence might be here for the rest of this night, and that I might speak your word, not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And if I was really preacher, like I say, everybody say it. Amen. But I'm not going to do that. I have the background. This is part 2 of the message series, The Chosen People. The first part, I talked about being holy and being set apart. Tonight, I'm going to talk about, in the process of being a chosen person, you've got to be marked by the covenant of God. You need to be someone who's completely sold out to God's promises. There's no place for halfway lukewarm people in the kingdom of Christ. You need to be completely sold out if you want to be effective for the kingdom. Now, I'm going to prove to you guys that I'm not going to be ADD. Don't call me on it if I don't. I know. It's a joke. I got to get my notes ready. So tonight I'm going to talk about this idea named covenant. You see, you have Abraham. This guy is really important. You know, we hear a lot about him. You know, Abraham, father Abraham, have many sons. How many sons had father Abraham? Okay, that guy. You hear about him in Vacation Bible School? Well, see, he's the initial father of the Israelite nation. And God takes him out and he says, Abraham, I'm going to give you as many descendants as the stars in the sky. Try to count them if you can. If you go outside on a really nice sky, can you count the stars? I think not. It's impossible. And I believe that's not just a promise to him, but it's a promise to you and me that if you really take God for his word, your life can touch the stars and you can make as big an impact as the stars in the sky. You could never measure what you could do for God if you would just trust him and try to go forth. And you see, God said, you know what, Abraham, not only am I going to say I'm going to give you this sentence, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make a covenant. What is a covenant? It's simply marriage, if I wanted to go simple with it. It's a permanent commitment. It's a lasting decision. It's a lifestyle. When you say you're in covenant with someone, I'm in a covenant relationship, we'd compare it to a marriage. Not marriage in this country where we get divorced every other year because we decided we don't like our wife anymore, but no, the kind of marriage that lasts for a lifetime. I'm talking about a permanent commitment. God says, Abraham, I'm going to go out and I'm going to give you a commitment that's not going to end in a week. It's not going to end in a month. For the rest of your life and for all eternity, Abraham, I'm your friend. I'm with you. And because you have faith in me, Abraham, you're righteous. You're set apart. So it makes this covenant promise with him. We're going to learn how that can apply to our life today and why we need covenants in our life. Who likes cheating, right? Does anyone in here like cheating in relationships? Is it good stuff? You want to like cheating? Stephanie Stahl is cheating on people. Don't date her.
I did not raise my hand for that.
She will completely cheat on you. Anybody else? Anyone like cheating? Who likes being cheated on in here? Who dislikes being cheated on in here? I know I would. I've never had that happen to me. But I want you to recognize something.
Not me.
Oh, it's the show. I want you to recognize something, though. So we don't like people who cheat. It's bad. Cheaters are people in our society that are horrible, that we don't like them. Cheaters, bad person. We don't want to hang around them. You don't want to date a cheater. Do you know that every time that you sin, you cheat on God? Every time that you say that you're in love with Jesus and you choose to do something that does not reflect his character, do you know that you cheated on him? When you say, Jesus, I give you my heart, that's an eternal commitment. It's not one that you say, oh, Jesus, well, I love you this day. The next day, I'm not going to be in love with you. I'm going to sin. I'm going to go do what I want to. That's not what it is. You've committed to a marriage relationship, a permanent relationship. I say marriage because that's the word that will resound in your head. We don't like cheating. We don't like people that fluctuate and go back and forth. But that's what we do when we say yes to sin. Every time that you say yes to sin, you recognize that you're saying no to God and you're telling him that what you wanted to do was more important than him in your life. So having that decision is more important than Jesus? That's messed up. It's to shock you. It's to get you to think, to say, if I'm really in a relationship with Jesus, there's requirements, there's guidelines, there's things that I need to keep into focus if I'm going to be in covenant with him. I'm not talking about, I know some of you in here went to Resurrection recently. I went to Resurrection when I was 14. I said a prayer. I went home. My life was back to the way it used to be in a week. I'm not saying that's not what happened with you because I know it touched your life. And I know it touched Stephanie's life too. I think it's a good thing. But it's not the kind of thing where you go once a year, you get on your knees and you say a prayer. And then you go back to your school and you live life the way you want to. When you make a commitment to Jesus, it's for life.
Whoa.
You mean my entire life. Well, everyone I know's got divorced, okay? That doesn't mean you need to divorce Jesus when you want to do what you want. It's eternal commitment. When you make that statement that Jesus, I'm going to live for you, you can't just stop living one moment and start the next. You would be dead. Makes sense. Well, I'm just going to live for Jesus this minute. If you were going to decide, I'm going to live today and I'm going to be dead tomorrow, I'm going to live the next day. Nobody doesn't really cut it. You're not going to make it after that one day of being dead. It's not going to work for you, okay? Don't try something different. But we do that with Jesus. Well, I'm going to live for you this day, and I'm going to be dead to you the next day, Jesus. That's not covenant. Covenant is eternal promise. Covenant is having no other lover but Jesus. Jesus Christ calls us to have no love but him. For him to be only, the Bible says in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, for you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So to love him with all your mind, to love him with all your soul, and to love him with all your strength, there is no place for no other because all is complete. You are to love God with everything that is in you. And we wonder why Christians are made fun of. It's because we don't have people that are all out anymore. We don't have people who are covenant. Covenant is all out. Covenant is eternal. Covenant is marriage. Covenant is lifetime commitment. And that's what this guy named Abraham got. He got covenant. You see, tonight is a call to complete commitment. It's a call to covenant. You see, you can't have the benefits of marriage unless you're in it. We want to pray. This made me so angry when I heard this. This young man died named Ryan. People put on Facebook, "Lord, why would you take such young people? I don't understand, God, why it's not in your character." And people that don't even know Jesus are praying. And they're so angry at God. Well, if you don't know God, you don't have the money in the bank to make the withdrawal to make a prayer. Do you not get that? We want in America, when you're dying on a bed in cancer, you want to pray. But when you've got money in your bank and you're happy living, thank you, don't want God. You can't have the benefits of a relationship unless you're in it. If you want Jesus, you want your prayers answered. You want your school saved. You want your family saved. You want people to be healed of cancer. You need to be in covenant. Because you can't have the benefits of a marriage unless you're out of it. Well, you say, "No, John, I can have sex right now. I can do whatever I want." Yeah, pay the consequences. Have fun. We want these benefits of marriage. That's what marriage is instituted for. It's for a lifetime relationship with one partner. Do we believe in one man, one woman in marriage here? Yes, here. Do we stand against homosexuality? Yes, we believe the Bible condemns it. I do not sit here and go, "I hate gay people." We don't do that here. We don't have time for like those retarded people on television who you see all the time. And I'm going to say this in context. They say, "God hates fags." No, God hates you because you're evil and you're not representing Christ. That isn't Jesus. That's not what I'm making the statement of. But we're talking about real covenant. We're talking about real commitment. We're talking about a lifetime deal. If you want your prayers answered, you want your school saved, you want to have God walk with you every step, you need to give Him your everything. When you make the commitment at marriage, you say, "Either in sickness and in health, I'm going to be committed to you till death do us part." That's what covenant is. That's what a complete relationship with Jesus is. You wonder why your prayers are not being hindered. You say, "Well, John, I pray and it feels like my prayers hit the wall." Well, I would say you're probably not completely committed to Him. You say, "Well, John, I don't feel God's presence." Well, what are you spending your time with? Worldly things or things of the Spirit? For when you fill your time with things of the Spirit, God's Spirit must show up in your life. That's covenant. Covenant is saying yes to God and no to the world. Covenant is saying, "I'm in this for the long haul, Jesus. It's not when I go home on weekends, I get drunk on Friday night and I go to church on Sunday morning." No, that's not covenant. That's flesh. Flesh is what you want. Covenant is what God's calling you to. There's a call to covenant. We want the benefits of relationship with Christ, but we're not willing to commit to have them. We want prayers answered. We want kids like Ryan not to die, and it's hard, and I understand that. But we call out these things, and we get so mad at God, but you don't even know the God that you're calling out to. I actually heard that this kid did know the Lord. I've heard that from several people. That's great, and I'm happy. And some of you are like, "How could you be so insensitive?" No, I'm just biblical. And if I offend you, I'm sorry. I live by the Bible, not by your cultural perceptions. You see, if you want the stars, guys, if you want to see your school saved, if you want to see your world change, you've got to pay the price to get them. Abraham got the stars because he was in covenant. Abraham got the stars because he was completely sold out to the Lord, that he was completely marked by God's presence, that he said, "I'm going to give you my everything, God." Do you know God has called people in the Bible His friend? Could you imagine what it would be like to know that the guy who literally dotted the sky with the stars, waved them into existence, breathed you into existence, made this earth, not blew it up and it happened, but made this earth, would literally call a human being His friend? Could you imagine what that would be like? That God would call you His friend. It starts with covenant. You hear people who have been married for a long time, they say, "Not only am I in love with them, they're my best friend." Not only do you need to be in a full, strong, complete, holy, righteous, completely sold out relationship with God, you not only do we try to love Him with everything, but He can also be our friend. But these things only come when we're sold out. You see, people who are marked by the covenant have the stars in their eyes. I talk about this a lot. I say, "God, I believe I'm going to have the stars." Well, it all starts at this groundwork of covenant. Are you completely sold out to Jesus? Does He have your everything? He's excited. He gave me an amen. That's right. He's my buddy. Are you completely sold out? He is. I don't know about you. He loves Jesus. Completely sold out. Are you? Does he have your everything? Does Jesus, I'm not saying, well, Jesus, you can have my mouth, my speech, my friends, my possessions, but you know, I don't, my weekends are my time, Jesus. I don't like getting up and praying. I don't like going to church. I go to youth on Wednesdays, but Sunday, old people getting up early, it's everything. I'm not saying that going to church is your basis for a relationship with Christ. The Bible says we shouldn't forsake the assembling together ourselves, as some people do. It's important when we get together as believers. Do I believe that you could function outside of the church, not going, you know, being a Christian? Sure, for a while, then you'll probably quit. Every person I've ever known that said, I'm out of the church, I'm not going back. Well, they quit. Sorry. There's something about us getting together and we're saying we all love Jesus and we're moving together as a unit. This is one body. This is one group of people. I'm just one part of this. We make it up together. We make up alive. You're the reason why people know this place is the place where kids aren't judged. I like that. I like it that when I go to William Blunt and I mention the name Alive, oh, so you're that guy from the church where people don't judge people? I like that. And I say it all the time. I love it. Because that means we're marked by the covenant, not the flesh. If we were in the flesh, we would be judging people. If we were in the flesh, we'd be having divisions. There's going to be people that are going to rise up and try to stop what God is doing in your life. But that is nothing compared to the grace of God. Where sin abounds, great doth much abound much more. And I said muches and doths and all kinds of King James language. It was kind of fun. Where sin abounds, Jesus' grace and love is more. There's going to be issues that are going to rise up. I believe that God is raising up a generation of young people who are going to be marked by His covenant. That are going to be people who say, I'm not going to be fake anymore. We're not going to be hypocrites. We're not going to be lukewarm. We're going to go to our schools and we're going to tell people because I'm in love with Jesus and He has my everything. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So I'll take the cross everywhere that I go. Did that ever register to you? Take up your cross and follow me. He never said, put it down. Take up your cross and follow me, and then put it down when you want to. That's not biblical. Take up your cross. It's an active every day. You wake up and you say, today I will carry that cross marking Christ into my school. Today I will carry the cross that marks my covenant with the man that I love, Jesus. I'm going to carry him into my work. When I go into houses where people don't know Jesus, I'm going to take the cross with me, and He's going to be right there with me because He said, take it up and follow me. He never said to put it down. Because you're marked by the covenant. We don't put the cross of Christ down when it becomes convenient. You see, I'm going to kind of start going deeper into this and kind of zipping through this. Today is the day of covenant. A generation of young people is raising up. I said this right before. A generation who sees that they have the stars and that the stars are going to be theirs because they're marked by the covenant. We can only see America saved when God has our covenant relationship, when He has our everything. We will only see a revival when He has it all. But I'm going to tell you something. Everything in the world is going to try to stop you. You want to live for Jesus? Expect some fire. You want to be a real Christian? You want to be covenant bound? You want to be all out? I don't like weak people. I don't like people who are feather footed, who waltz around and do things half-butted. I don't like having to clean up their messes. I like people who are all out. I think God's an all-out person. He says, give your everything, give your entire life for me at the foot of the cross and take up a cross and follow me. Jesus is an all-out person and God is an all-out God. But I'm going to tell you something. You make that declaration, you're going to have problems. Things are going to come against you. Now, see, this is where the vultures step in. You're like, John, you talk about this guy, he cut up birds and he had vultures. Well, I'm going to tell you what these mean. You see, everybody's got vultures in their life. You see, this guy standing over the covenant promise, the thing that represents his complete relationship with God. And vultures try to swoop in and take away. And I believe that every single word in this book called the Bible is inspired by God. And I believe John was telling me about this. If you change one punctuation mark in it, you're in fault. That this is it. And I don't believe that God would have put in this vultures part for no reason. It could have been omitted. It was in there for purpose. At the exact moment when He finished showing the entire world that I'm completely in love with You, God, You're my everything, vultures try to swoop in and take the things that represented His complete love. You're going to have things that are going to try to come in and kill you. You're going to have things that are going to try to come in and stop you. If you're going to be an all-out Christian, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have fire. You're going to have people try to kill you. You're going to have things in your life that try to take your complete relationship with the Lord and half it. You see, 10 pieces of animal. Vultures take a couple away. That's not complete covenant. That's not what God said. God said, I want 10. I want you to take these three, split them, well, really eight, and leave two complete. I want eight. I want them right here. And if a vulture took that away, it took away God's complete covenant marker. There's going to be things that are going to try to step into your life. Let me tell you what one of them. Well, first off, you got to get some facts. You're going to be attacked. Satan has got a mat on and he's after you. When you want to live for Jesus, you got to be real. You got to be intense. You got to be all out, full bore faith. But you see, Satan's going to try everything in his little, weak, illimitated, illegitimate, limited power to try to kill you. And all the what time, Satan's going to try to convince you that he's some great and powerful being. You see, attacks many times are also going to come from places that you're not going to expect. When you want to live for the Lord, things are going to come in and try to destroy you from places you never would have expected. Vultures swoop down from above. You don't look above, you look in front of you. There's going to be things that are going to try to swoop in and take God's promises from you. They'll try to take the covenant from you. Let me tell you what the first thing that's going to kill you is, it's fear. It's fear. Satan's going to try to come. The world's going to try to come and it's going to try to put you in fear. Well, you can't be a Christian. You're going to fail. You're going to fail miserably. People will reject you. People will revile you. You're going to go into your school. You're going to stand up and no one's going to listen to you. You're going to hear those voices. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Literally, that's what it's like. Worry. You're going to get rejected. If I speak, I'm going to sound stupid. What if people question me and I don't have answers? What if no one likes me anymore? You know what fear is? It's weakness. Bethany Troxell put fears. What, pain is weakness leaving the body, but fear is weakness. It's what Satan tries to do to try to cripple your covenant. He tries to bring in thoughts to you. He tries to bring in questioning. When you stay in fear, if you don't cure fear, fear, if it's not conquered, it will cripple you. There is Christians in churches all across this nation that have never told anyone about God because they got rejected one time. You know what Jesus said? If they persecuted me and whipped me and beat me, do you not think they will persecute you? The gospel of Jesus isn't, come, get your Porsche $1,000 in Bible and live happily ever after because all God wants is you to be happy. Wrong. The Bible never says God wants you to be happy. That's your American culture that said that. So we have so many people mad at God because we don't understand when a young man loses his life. Well, God does it. Don't you want him to be happy? Don't you want his family to be happy? The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Bad things happen, guys. It's a fact of life. But you know what you need to know? When you have the Lord with you, according to the Word of God, in 1 John 4:17-18, perfect love casts out all fear. Either you can choose to listen to the voice of fear or you can choose to listen to the voice of God. So when Satan tries to bring fear into you, you need to know what you need to do? You need to be like Abraham. You need to stand up, shoo away fear and say, no, I'm in love with Jesus. He loves me and His love casts out all fear. Because God did not give you a spirit of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7. It says He gave you a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. So when Satan tries to put you in fear, and you get afraid when you're going to tell others, and you get afraid when you step out and really become quenched in the covenant with God, when you go in love with Him, and you give Him your everything, it's scary. But you know what? The Bible says perfect love is going to cast it off fear. If you would just give Him covenant relationship, if you would just give Him your everything, there would be no more fear. Because that love of Jesus would always cast it out. God gave you love to cast out fear. He gave you power to stand in the face of opposition, and He gave you a sound mind to live by truth and not by feelings. What I just said, I want to repeat that. God gave you truth, a sound mind to live by truth and not by feelings. We're not living by what we feel, because I'm going to wake up some days and I'm not going to feel like living like a covenant-bound Christian. My flesh is going to want to do some dumb stuff. My flesh is going to want to sin. But I don't live by what I feel. I live by the truth that I know. And the truth that I know is that when, this is the covenant part right here. This is what happens when you say, I'm covenant bound. You really give God your everything? For it is no longer I who live. No, for I am crucified with Christ. For it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. In this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and who gave his life for me. That's Galatians 2:20. That's covenant. For it's no longer I who live, because I've been crucified with Christ, I've died. And so every day I say, flesh, shut up. Friends, I don't listen to your fear. I listen to love. I listen to Jesus. I listen to His voice. And the perfect love of Jesus casts out the fear that you try to create in me. So you know what you need to do when fear tries to come in? You need to stand up, say, no, get out of here, and shoo those vultures away from your life. There's a second thing that's going to kill you. It's opposition from those who have what you have and they don't. It's opposition from those who don't have what you do. It's offensive to Christians who are fakes to see you burning for God. It is offensive to those who are burning to see someone burn for the Lord. Who cares? Do you really think God in heaven cares about your opinion, you so-called Christian? What you have when you get covenant, when you get real Jesus, when you get completely sold out and you start doing things for the kingdom and you start making an impact in your school, people will be upset because you have what they don't. Yeah. There will be opposition. There will be things come against you. But what you need to understand is you must obey God rather than human authority according to Acts chapter 5 verse 29. Peter said, we must obey God rather than human authority. So when people try to come against you, even your family will come. When I became a Christian, my grandmother religiously, and I use that word there for a reason, came up to me and said, you're a fake. Christians don't act like that. Christians don't treat their cousins mean. Christians don't say what you just said. But you know what's going to happen? If you stick with it, if you stick solid, light can only shine at dark. And eventually the light in your life will light up theirs. But they're going to try to put you out with their darkness. They're going to try to take you out. But what you need to do is you need to stand up, say, no, I'm going to obey God, not your foolish man's opinion, and I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to shoo that vulture away. There's one final thing I want to address before we're done. It's this guy named Satan. That idiot that got his butt cast out of heaven, that fool, that mocker, that false authority. We'd like to say Satan. We like to talk about him. We like to talk about his power. We like to talk about, well, Satan's really got me down. Satan's really beat me up, and I've known those moments. And when he tries to tempt you with sin, with doubt, with questioning, with having things before its proper time, and I know that's there, and I know that he's going to try to attack you, and some of you are going to quote me the scripture, you're going to say, but John, isn't Satan like a roaring lion? Well, yeah. You know your Bible. Congratulations. 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. When Satan, you know what his job is? It's to kill, steal, and destroy. It is to take you out. It is to destroy your faith. So not only is questioning and fear going to try to swoop in and take your covenant out, not only is people going to try to step up and say, no, you're fake, and you need to tell us things. Every time a vulture tries to swoop in and kill your covenant, you stand up and say, get out of here. I don't have a place for you. I'm sorry. I don't live by fear. I live by love. And I'm sorry. I don't live by your opinion. I live by God's opinion. His promises are yes and amen. His promises are good. He thinks good things of me. So when bad people try to say bad things over your life, you stand up and say, no, I'm living for the Lord. Your opinion doesn't count. And I guarantee you, if you stand up and make that statement, it will affect their lives. And they'll probably turn over to the Lord in a near future. But Satan's going to try to come in. And he's going to try to be the cherry on top of your cake. You stood up and you said, no, I'm not going to listen to fear. No, I'm not going to listen to friends. Satan's going to come up and say, you forgot about me. Remember how you used to smoke dope? Remember how you used to do that? It was good, wasn't it? It tasted real good, didn't it? You like that smell. Remember how you used to drink? Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Tasted good. Made you feel good. Remember how you used to use girls? Remember how you liked that? You could do that again. Just a little bit. Satan moves in subtlety. Little things. Just a little bit. Just look at this online for just a minute. You're not going to do anything. Just take a drink. You're not going to get drunk. The Bible doesn't say you can't drink. It just says you can't get drunk. Smoking pot's on the Bible. Just do it. It's subtlety. He's going to come in and he's going to try to steal what God has promised you. But you need to stand up and say, no, I'm living for the Lord. Because this scripture says Satan is like. Satan is like. Do you catch what I'm saying? He's like. He is a toothless, clawless lion who's old and scraggly, who has no power over you. People have this big Satan concept. They say, well, Satan's so powerful. He's beating you up. And yeah, that's going to happen at times. But God is so much bigger. But God is so much greater. For our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. But some people walk around like Satan's stronger. Satan's bigger than God. And that's not the case. He's a phony. His idiot butt tried to be like God and got kicked to hell. And so he spends an eternity separated from the presence of God because it's idiocracy. Because he tried to counterfeit God's presence. He's like a lion. Now there's going to be times when you're going to be tempted. There's going to be times when you're going to be tried. But you stand up and say, I rebuke you, Satan. Get behind me, for the only lion is Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The only true power, the only true authority. You stand up and you shoo that vulture away and you say, be gone, for this is the covenant promise of God. You need to be marked by the covenant of God. Because Abraham, the man who got the promise, only got it because his life was marked by the covenant. My question to you is, does he have your everything? Does he have your all? Well, maybe you sit there and say, John, he has my everything. He has my entire life. But I've been dealing with fear. And you see, when you let fear stay, unconquered fear becomes crippling and it cripples you. Maybe you say, well, John, I've been crippled by fear. Tonight's the night that you let that go and you let perfect love cast it out of your life. Get everyone to stand up. We're going to be dismissed.